teacher. Did you see the woman teaching in Washington?
Morning, everybody. Today's daf in Yevamos daf Chav Beis. I apologize for being this far behind. We sometimes stay a little bit behind the daf, just because that's our minug. now that we are still on Chav Amud Beis, so now I'm feeling like this is a little too far behind. So this week, obviously, I'll make a conscious effort to catch up to speed. And today's daf is not going to help me. Today's daf is very difficult. So it's doable. We're going to do it, but I should say rather yesterday's daf. But okay, it's I'll make a very conscious effort. This morning's daf is sponsored by the Lupin Foundation. We want to thank the Lupin Foundation. The daf will be learning Zecher Nishmas Slovos Lupin Zaltzman. Let's continue from where we left off on Chaf Amud Beis. The Gemara yesterday asked a really huge question, and that is Aman LaKohen Gadol. Huge question. It has little practical application vis-a-vis that particular example, but conceptually the question is a huge question, and that is Aman LaKohen Gadol. If she's an Aman Amin HaEris, then so what are the Gemara's conclusion yesterday was? Well, not the conclusion, but the question is, okay, I understand that Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an Amana, even if she's a Besula, meaning she became a widow after the point of Eristin, but still there's a Yibum Mitzvah opportunity, and let the Yibum Mitzvah opportunity override the law, the negative prohibition of the Torah. We spent the entire first week and a half of the Masechta learning that a mitzvah sase is docha lo sase, a positive commandment is going to override, it's going to supersede a negative prohibition. So let it happen. Let the Kohen Gadol marry the Amana. And meanwhile, the Mishnah says no. The Mishnah says they default right to Chalitza, and you don't do Yibum. And so the question is obvious. Well, why are we defaulting to Chalitza if the mitzvah sase is going to be overriding the lo sase? That was the Gemara's question that the Gemara raised on Daf Chaf. Really, the question begins on the bottom of Chaf Amud Aleph, and the Gemara spends the entirety of Chaf Amud Beis attempting to answer this question. The Gemara gave three attempted answers, and the Gemara had issues with each one of the answers. And finally, Rava, who, by the way, was giving some of those attempted answers, so Rava finally concedes, and he says on the bottom of Chaf Amud Beis, and this is where we're going to pick it up, and we'll start from this point in time. So Rava says, Gzera bi Rishon Atu bi Ashnei. It's the first wide line on Chaf Amud Beis. So he says, it's a rabbinical decree, because Bia Rishona is allowed. Meaning the mitzvah of Yibam is Bia Rishona. It's the first act of relationship. Going forward, henceforward, it's no longer a mitzvah of Yibam. And so therefore, the mitzvah's essay of Yibam is going to only override the first Bia. So yes, it's possible that he can marry her, the Kohen Gadol can marry the Almana, but that's only for Bia Rishona. Subsequent to that, Bia Shnia, etc., etc. So that's going to be Aser, because she's still an Almana, she's still a widow, and there's no mitzvah of Yibum, and so therefore we were Gozer, the Chachamim were Gozer, Bia Rishona to Bia Shnia. It's a simple Gzera. Meaning once he married her, well, he's not going to want to divorce her. Okay, so it's a simple gzera. Okay, that is what we saw yesterday, and then the Gemara Tanya Namehachi, the Gemara quoted a braisa supporting this answer as well. In Balu Kana Bibir Rishona Vasilakama Bibir Shnia. In all these cases, if Bibir Rishona was done, that is perfectly legitimate, but you can't keep her for Bibir Shnia, because again, it only goes to point of Bibir Rishona, not to Bibir Shnia. Let's make the obvious point. I know I made this point. I know I made this point yesterday, but let's make the obvious point. Can't we say that in any scenario of Yibum? Meaning, every time a brother marries his widow, every time a man marries his brother's widow, so why don't we make the argument that, okay, Bia Rishona is okay, but after going forward, it's Eshesach. That's the obvious question, but the obvious answer is the Torah was Matir. Meaning that's a circumstance where the Torah says, it's not just a Dichui. It's not that there is a love, but we're going to just simply push away the external law and therefore allow for the marriage. No, the Torah is matir. The Torah says this is what's supposed to be done in such a situation, and it's heter gamur. As opposed to over here, it's not heter gamur, because over here the law is not related to the mitzvah of Yibum. The law is an external law. The law is, in this particular case, Kohen Gadol to an Amana. It's an external law, so it's not the same as the classic scenario of Eshesach. What I just said, Toso says it, Rishonim say it right here on the spot. Okay. Hada Marava, Vitemar Vashi, Love Milsi Yidamri. So now, Rava says, he wants to backtrack. Even though, it's interesting, this is going to be the accepted answer of the Gemara, in terms of why it is that a Kohen Gadol cannot marry his brother's widow, because the Chachamim made a gzera of Bia Shnia, a Bia Rishona, out to Bia Shnia. He's going to, for a moment, try to retract on that answer, and for a very interesting reason as to why. Because we know, look, if presented with a challenge where I have a positive commandment and I have a negative prohibition, and even though we typically say the positive is going to override the negative, Reish Lakish throws in a clause which is intuitive and which seemed to be hurtful in our issue. And that is, let's say you could do both. Meaning, I'm challenged with a mitzvah sase and a lo sase. So if I can do both, meaning both fulfill the mitzvah sase and circumvent, navigate my way around the lo sase, I don't violate the lo sase, so that I get the best of both worlds. And then, of course, you should do that. The ase is only going to be docha the lo sase if it's an unavoidable way, if the lo sase is unavoidable. Meaning that the only way I can fulfill the mitzvah sase is by violating the lo sase. Right? Tzitzis is a classic example, though tzitzis is problematic, but let's leave tzitzis out of the discussion for now. Mila but saras. Saras be mila. Okay, a simple example. I mean, simple. Again, we haven't seen saras in a couple thousand years, but let's say a baby has saras on the makamila. Okay, so now the Torah says, Yishamer b'negat saras, you're not allowed to cut off saras off the body. You're not allowed to excise saras off the body, and meanwhile, there's a mitzvah of mila, and the mitzvah of mila is demanding that you excise the arla, that you take the arla and remove it from the baby. So here's a perfect example where the only way that I can fulfill the mitzvah sase is by violating the lo sase. Good. But if the lo sase and the ase are both sustainable, if I could do both, so then obviously I should tend to both. So here I could do both. How can I do both? Chalitza. Okay, again, we bring this back to the discussion that we had earlier. Is chalitza part of the mitzvah of Yibum? Or is chalitza just simply an exit strategy from the mitzvah? So the Gemara over here, it sounds pretty clear from the Gemara over here. It's part of the mitzvah.
Same level as Yibum. Really not.
That's what it certainly sounds like. Okay, makes for the Gemara challenges in Balu Kanu. So the Gemara says, okay, problem of course is, we go back to the Braisa. What did the Braisa say? We are going back to the Braisa Petsua Daka. Remember yesterday, we talked about the man who was a Petsua Daka, and he was the only surviving brother, and what should he do? So he should do Chalitza. What if he did Yibum? It's okay. Good. It's good, meaning it's not, obviously not condoned, because it's a lav. Petsua Daka is not allowed to marry a woman. But if he did Yibum, it's fine. So what is it? What is that telling you? That there is a mitzvah Yibum opportunity. So Tiyufta, so the Gemara points out that that the Aseh can override the Los Aseh, even if I can circumnavigate my way around the mitzvah Aseh. So I could do both. Okay, so it's a very interesting Gemara, meaning what basically Rava gives an answer, which is the answer. Rava tries to back out of the answer, but the Gemara kind of throws him back right into that answer. So again, it's Gzera Bia Rishona Atu Bia Shnia. Okay. Itmar, the Gemara continues, we're on the very bottom of Chaf Amud Beis. Bias Kohen Gadol Ba'aman Rav Yochan Rav Lazar. The Bia of a Kohen Gadol with a widow. So Rav Yochan Rav Lazar Chalamar Ina Poter Tzorasov Chalamar Poter Tzorasov. So we have a debate amongst the Amorim. Meaning again, we have a Kohen Gadol had a brother. Brother was married. The brother died childless. Now the Kohen Gadol is looking at a widow to perform the mitzvah of Yibum. So if he does the mitzvah of Yibum, meaning basically we're going to try to suggest to him, no, we don't suggest, I'm sorry, we say to him to do Chalitza. But if he does Yibum, does that break the Zika? Meaning, what is the mitzvah of Yibum accomplished? So right now we have, what is a machlokas amarayim? So ba'amanam in esun kolam lo pligi de lo patra de inos edo chalos asevese. So if she is not only a widow, but a non-virgin, so then the answer is categorically no. Because the mitzvah of Yibum is not going to override what would need to be overridden in this case, which would be both the positive commandment of he needs to take a basula and the negative prohibition of not marrying an amana. So there's for sure no mitzvah of Yibum. So by him having relations with her, that is not a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Yibum, and therefore it doesn't break the Zika. The whole debate is an amana with an erusin. So an amana with an erusin, as we discussed yesterday, as we discussed in the beginning of this morning, so that is a ase dochelos ase. So manda amar poteres ase ase dochelos ase. So the one that says that the Kohen Gadol's relations with his sister-in-law is going to break the zika, because the equation is very simple. The ase is going to override the los ase, meaning there was a mitzvah of yibum that he fulfilled. And the other opinion subscribes to the viewpoint that no, because chalitza is an avenue out of this dilemma, so therefore there is no mitzvah yibum, since there's another way out. Meaning the Gemara is just simply restating we're holding like Reish Lakish, where if there's another way out, so then there's no longer a mitzvah. So Meisvevi and Balukano. So then the Gemara goes back to the Braisa again, and the Braisa describes how if the Isser Lav has relations with his Yavama, Kone, meaning Yibam has been accomplished, even though it's a Lav. And what does that clearly indicate to you? So Tiyufta. That indicates that the mitzvah has been fulfilled. There is a mitzvah of Yibam. Lema Tiyave Nami Tiyufta Deresh Lakish. And now the Gemara says, okay, good. So we have reinstated Rava back into the discussion. The Gemara has concluded that if the Kohen Gadol does have relations with his widow, with his brother's widow, he has fulfilled the mitzvah of Yibam, despite the fact that it's allowed to have relations with her. Good. Now the Gemara is bothered by, can we go back to Reish Lakish? Meaning the Gemara presented Reish Lakish a couple lines earlier as just nobody debates what he says, which is that if I have an essay and a los essay, and I can circumnavigate my way through this, where I can be Mekayim both, I should be Mekayim both. So can't we now argue that maybe Reish Lakish is wrong? Right? When presented earlier, the Gemara just assumed, of course he's right. But now, if you think about it, maybe he's not. That's the Gemara's next question. Maybe Reish Lakish is not right. So the Gemara says, no, we could defend Reish Lakish. So Reish Lakish's argument over here is very simple. You're not circumventing. This is not a circumnavigation around the mitzvah of Yibum. Because if you have an opportunity of Yibum, Chalitza is not a substitution for the mitzvah of Yibum. Chalitza is but rather an exit. It's an out. So if given the choice of Yibum or Chalitza, it's not that Chalitza is pseudo-Yibum. Chalitza is just simply a way to get out of Yibum. So in this particular circumstance, he would argue, Chalitza is not a substitute, and therefore there is no circumnavigation, and therefore in order to fulfill this, you have to do Yibum, if given the choice between Yibum and Chalitza. So it does not debunk the rule of Reish Lakish, that if Eshlakaim Shem, that if I could do both, so then I should do both. Okay, period. Okay, Adkan, that takes us really to the end of the discussion. Quick summary. The Mishnah taught us back on Chaf Amud Aleph that if there's an Issur Lav, or if there's an Issur Derabanan, which we're about to discuss, so then it doesn't break the Zika. There's still a Zika between a Yavam and Yavama, even though the nature of the relationship between the two is a Torah prohibition. But because it's not an Issur Kares, there's still a Zika, but because it's an Issur, because it's a Lav, so therefore Chalitza, not Yibum. Question that we just finished dealing with. Well, why not do the mitzvah of Yibum? Especially considering that a mitzvah sesei is dochalos sesei. Especially considering that chalitza b'makom Yibum is not a mitzvah. So therefore, let him do the mitzvah of Yibum and let it override the lav. That's our big question. But the answer is that to do the first bia is a fulfillment of the mitzvah. Any subsequent bia after that is not a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Yibum. And so therefore, what he would have to do is he'd have to marry her, be a Rishona, and then divorce her, and one can only imagine that he's not going to want to divorce her, and so therefore the Chachamim made a gzera of be a Rishona atu be a Shnia. Okay, Adkan, that takes us to the end of that discussion of the Gemara. Next, we move on. And now we are now going to start the discussion of Shnios. Shnios, a big discussion, which will take place over today's daf. I should rather say yesterday's daf, Chaf Aleph. It will continue into today's daf, and it will go to the Mishnah, Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. Let's see if we can get through as much as we can get through right now on the topic of Shnios. Shnios is a difficult topic. And so what I will try to do, my best, is to explain this. If you have diagrams, if you have charts, it'll be extremely helpful. If you're just good, if you're intuitive at seeing family structure, That's great. If you have dysfunction in your family, that's even better. It'll help us all see all these cases very clearly. Okay, so let's go on. So the Gemara says, sorry for the that was very acidic. Okay, I apologize. Amar Rava, remez l'shnias min haTorah minayin. Where do you see shnias min haTorah? Now the question is really funny. Meaning, what do you see shnias min haTorah? You're not going to see in the Torah. Meaning, the whole idea behind shnias is that the Torah gives us a list of arayas. The Torah speaks very clearly in which family relationships is prohibited. Achrimos parshas kedoshim. By the way, you've noticed every time I mention the arayas, I mention two parshios, and that's very simple because it's mentioned in both parshios. What's the difference between achrimos versus kedoshim? And achrimos, the yisurim are laid out. In kedoshim, the punishments are given. Right, the basic rule in the Torah that ein onshin ela im kein nizharin. There's no punishment unless the Torah first gives us the azara. When we go to Masechet Sanhedrin, you're going to see this rule come up again and again. That they're always in the Torah you're going to have to find two psukim. One pasuk that describes an iser, and a second pasuk that describes an onish. So that's really achrimos and kedoshim. Achrimos presents the iser, and then kedoshim tells us what if you do it. And for all the not all arayas are equal. Some of them are Mises Beis Din. Some of them are kares. That's it. Nothing less than kares. Okay. We talked about your father's wife as perhaps being a lav, but your father's wife is not mentioned in Achrimos and Kedoshim. That's in Parshas Ki Tsetse. Okay. I digressed. The Gemara's question over here is a funny question because we're looking for remez in the Torah for shnios. Shnios are the secondary relatives, the ones that the Chachamim added on for reasons which we're going to explain and explore over the course of the remainder of today's daf. And we're looking now for a pasuk in Chumash. We're not going to find a pasuk in Chumash, obviously. The question over here of the Gemara is pretty straightforward. Where's the remez? Meaning, where's the concept that the Chachamim have this ability and right and obligation to add more relatives to the list that the Torah already gives us? That's really what's at heart of the Gemara's question over here. So Rav Amar Remez L'Shnias Min HaTorah Minayin Shen Amar. So first we start a pasuk in Parshas Vayikra, in Parshas Achrimos, which makes perfect sense because that's where the arayas are found. Kes kol tovos ha'el asu anshe ha'aretz. So all the tovos, disgusting abominations that are done by the members of this land. Members of this land, by the way, is a reference to Canaan, Mitzrayim. Right, they behaved in a very illicit manner, and so Akash Baruch Hu is telling us that's not how you're going to behave. And the word Ha'el is really a short for the words Ha'ela, these. But we also know that the word El, just in terms of its pure definition, means strong. Right, give you a simple example, Elokim. Right, that speaks to Akash Baruch Hu being a Baal Yecholas. Right, he can do anything. So omnipotent is, I think, how we describe it. So Hakel Kashos, so that gives us the idea that these that are mentioned in the Torah, they're Kashot. They're hard, they're challenging, they're strong. Which means Mechadi Karakot, which means that there are, quote-unquote, weaker ones. So the strong ones are the ones that are also in the Torah, and the weaker ones are the ones that are added by the Chachamim. That's a remez, a hint in the Torah. And how do I know this? Where do we see this? That the word ha'el is a reference to kashot. So the Gemara says, "Aves ele haaretz lakach." The ele haaretz, the strong of the land. So that's what he took. So lema pligi the Rabbi Levi, the Amar Rabbi Levi kashon shin shalmi dos yosem yon shin shalrayos. Now the Gemara points out that according to Rabbi Levi, the punishment for unfair weights and measurements, Torah speaks very strongly about using weights and measurements that are not correct, accurate weights and measurements. Basically, you're trying to cheat somebody. So, shezen emra behen, elva zen emra behem eila. When it comes to the using false weights and measurements, the Torah uses the word eila with a hey at the end. When it discusses arayas, the Torah just simply says the word el, meaning it's a contraction of the word eila. So, and Rabbi Levi's teaching us that, what do you see? That unfair weights and measurements is even worse. So the Gemara says, El Kasheva, Eile Kashem El. So the Gemara says, okay, but again, we're speaking here relatively speaking. Meaning, it is not downplaying the Isser Arias. The Isser Arias is severe. quite frankly, I don't understand totally what the Gemara is doing over here. We know the Arayis are severe. It's the Nisar Kares. There are only 36 of them in the Torah. So how the Gemara is having a Havamina right now that Arayis is more subdued because when described in the Torah, it only has been described with the word El without the Hay. What else would we have thought? It's the Nisar Kares. But anyway, fine. El described by Arayis teaches us that Arayis are severe, but the Gemara says, but unfair weights and measurements, to a certain level of understanding, it's even worse. Gabe, Arayis nam ksiv Ela. And then the Gemara says, oh, by the way, you know the word Ela is also found in the Arayis as well? So the comparison seems to be strange. So the Gemara says, ha'u lema'ute midos mikareis. So the Gemara says, no, that Ela mentioned over there by Arayis is just there to teach us that even though in terms of the Madregas HaIsser, the level of Isser, unfair weights and measurements is not only as bad as Arayus, worse than Arayus, but in terms of actual punishment, Arayus gets a bigger punishment. So then the obvious question, what difference does it make? Meaning, if the punishment for Arayus is greater than the prohibition of unfair weights and measurements, right? So then, what are we saying? So the Gemara says, "I'll tell you what we're saying, because when it comes to Arayus, there's a chance for tshuva. Again, assuming you don't make a mamzer. If you made a mamzer, so then, right? We learned earlier, then you could do all the tshuva in the world you want. Move us l'asher lo yichal l'tkon. There's nothing you could do about that. But when it comes to unfair weights and measurements, so that means that for years now, you've been using a scale that's been rigged. For years, you've been cheating the public. And now, after a couple years of doing that, now all of a sudden you start losing sleep at night. Now you start having a guilty conscience. Now you start thinking, oh my gosh, think about it. All the people I stole from, and now what are you going to do? You can't make restitution to all those people you stole from. So Gemara says, that's the difference. That's why we pit one against the other. So, and to a certain degree, I understand Arayis is an Issar Kares. And obviously, Arayis is one of the Gimel Chamuros. Understood. But to a certain degree, unfair weights and measurements is worse because you can't do tshuva. Now, Rashi points out over here. Yeah. Rashi points out over here that the Gemara does elsewhere, right? The Gemara in Beitza. Yeah. It's Rashi over here. The Gemara in Beitza says that if you did spend a lifetime, half a lifetime, or even just a couple of years of cheating the public. So the Gemara does say what you should do is you should make a donation to the public. Okay? Write the shul a big check, write the mikvah a big check, write your local school a big check. But Rashi points out that's not real restitution. Meaning the Gemara is telling you what to do with the gain in order to do some form of tshuva. But that's not real tshuva. Real tshuva would have meant that you would identify the person that you stole from and you would have paid him back. Okay. Rav Yehuda Amar Mehacha, back to the Gemara, back to addressing the question, where do you see a remez to Arayis in the Torah? Rav Yehuda Amar Mehacha, v'izein v'chiker sikein mashlim harbei. Pasuk in Koheles, v'izein. Izein, now the word izein comes from the word ozen, which means ear. In this case, it's describing a handle. Like the ear of a jar, of a jug. I skipped the line. Before Shlomo HaMelech came, you know what the Torah was like? It was like this box, this carton that didn't have any handles. So picking it up and putting it down again was very difficult. But the Shlomo did is he made literally ears, he made handles. So now the Torah was literally handleable. Rabbi Yoshi Amar Mehacha, Piraehu Al Ta'avar Ba. Piraehu literally means to reject it, but over here in this context it's going to mean grow it. Al Ta'avar Ba, Sete Me'alav, move away from it, Va'avor, and pass on. Meaning this is a Pasuk in Mishlei describing what we should do when we see something which is bad. You see something bad, move right along, right? Avoid it, right? Sitehu. Sitehu comes from the word sota. But here, it, sota means that she behaved in a deviant fashion. Here, the Pasuk in Mishlei is describing, you should deviate from ra. Go away from bad. Amar Ravashi Mashal de Rabbi Yoshe Lama Adav Adoma La'ada Mishamer Pardes Mishamer B'chutz Kula Mishamer. It's like guarding an orchard. right? Don't guard it from the inside. Guard it from the outside. Because when you guard it from the outside, you're protecting the whole thing. But if you guard it from the inside, you only have a limited vantage point of what you can guard. Now the Gemara says, now this mashal of Ravashi, the Gemara says, Bedusa, literally translated as, it's a bit of a joke, meaning he didn't totally mean it. Do a little study on how many times the Gemara says Hadar Avashi Bedusa, right? It's often used line and specifically related to Ravashi. And okay, it's just a note. Hasam Shlafan of Mia Mishtamer Hacha Ilashnias Paga Be'erav Agufa. The Gemara says the analogy is not a perfect analogy because when you're guarding the pardes from the inside, and it's true that your vantage point is limited, but you're going to protect it to a certain degree. Without the shnios, without the secondary arayos, gufa, a person's going to liable to hit an erva itself, and so therefore, basically, the entire institution of arayos is going to become compromised. So it's not a great mashal. It doesn't really speak to how strongly we need shnios, that we need the secondary arayos. Rav Kahana, Amar Mi'acha, one more pasuk that describes a source, a remez in the Torah where the chachamim are to put up a fence. And here we go. Ushmartim is mishmarti. Asu mishmer mishmarti. Hashem Baruch Hu says, I gave a mishmar, I gave a fence, a guard, a protection, meaning I gave you a sermon in the Torah, and you, the chachamim, are charged with to make another mishmeret, to guard the mishmeret. Basically, to make more addendums to the Torah to protect the Torah, meaning that's okay. Even though there's an issue in the Torah of Atosif, you're not allowed to add to the Torah. This is not an addition. This is a precaution. So Daraisa Pirshu Rabbanan. So the Gemara first starts off by saying, I understand, that's not a remez, that's a din Daraisa. So the Gemara says, no, it's a din Daraisa explained by the Chachamim. Kala Torah ma nami Pirshu Rabbanan. What do you mean? That's a description of the entire Torah. The entire Torah is shaped, molded, defined by the Chachamim. That's Torah Shebal Peh. So the Gemara says, Alam Midrabban across Machtamama. So the Gemara says, finally, and this is, of course, the conclusion, no, Shnius is really a Dindarabbanan. Yeah, we just quoted a series of Pesukim. We quoted a Pesuk from Shmarta Mishmarti. Previously, we quoted Pesukim from Mishle and Kohelis, although you can argue that's not Torah. Prior to that, we quote Es Ki Es Kol HaToevos HaEl, meaning that we look to Pesukim in the Torah to try to expand on this idea of Shnios. The Gemara, of course, concedes these are Dine Derabanan. The Pesukim that we quote are what's called Asmachta, just simply hooks that the Chachamim do, where they hook their Din Derabanan onto a Pesuk in the Torah, a connection between the Din Derabanan and the Pesuk in the Chumash. Okay, Tanu Rabanan, and here we begin. We're going to basically see two brisos that describe the Shnios. Meaning, first of all, what are the arayos in the Torah? So I've mentioned this already a number of times. Look it up. Go to Achremos, go to Kedoshim, and read the Pesukim, and you're going to see all the arayos in the Torah. Okay, they are stated very clearly. And now what we're going to do, assuming that we know what the arayos are, is we're going to now be discussing the shnios, the secondary relationships with the Chachamim added on. We're going to see a brisa right now on Chafal Famed Aleph, and we're going to see a brisa, hopefully today, but unlikely, on Chav Beis. The Brice of Rabbi Chia, and between the two Brices, we're going to get to, I'm going to use the number 14 additional family members, and the truth of the matter is, there's going to be another two that we're going to be discussing. So when all said and done, the grand total is going to be another 16 family members that are added already onto the Issa Arise that the Torah provides for us. Okay, that's the outline of the Gemara. So one Brice here, one Brice on Chav Beis. And the sum total is going to be 16. And by the way, that number doesn't even represent how many shnios there are. Because as we're going to see later on, in certain cases, the numbers extend ad infinitum. And if you don't know what I mean by that yet, that's fine. Later on, either this morning or tomorrow morning, you'll understand what I mean. Tana Rabbanan. Mahim shnios, what are the shnios? So again, these are the secondary arayos that were added by the Chachamim to safeguard the Torah's arayos. So number one, Amy Mo, your mother's mother. Oddly enough, the Torah prohibits one to have relations with one's mother, and but her mother, your mother's mother, is not an Isser Min HaTorah. So the Chachamim put her as Shnia number one. Aim Aviv, your father's mother. Again, not Isser Min HaTorah, Chachamim added her. Eshes Avi Aviv, your grandfather's wife. not Aser Min HaTorah, Chachamim Editor, Esha Savi Amo, your grandfather, but here being your mother's father's wife. Eshes Achi Ha'av Min Ha'im. Now, to explain these next two, so let me just point out the following. Your uncle's wife is prohibited in the Torah, but only with the following conditions. Number one, it's your father's brother. Number two, it's your father's paternal brother. That is the only uncle's wife who the Torah prohibits to you. So now what the Chachamim did is the Chachamim added more uncles. So when we say more uncles, so we're describing over here, Eshes Achi Ha'av Min Ha'im. So number one, it's your uncle, but it's your father's brother only by mother. It's your father's maternal brother, his wife. So your uncle's wife, but again, it's not an Issur Min HaTorah, because the only Issur Min HaTorah is your father's paternal brother. This is your father's maternal brother. And Eshes Achi Ha'av Min Ha'im. And your mother's paternal brother. Your mother's paternal brother, where again, Min HaTorah, she's not an Erva, but the Chachamim added her as an Erva. Notably absent from this list, from the short list over here, is going to be your mother's maternal brother. Now over there, one can imagine, well, over now you're already two steps removed from an Erva. Number one, it's your mother's brother, not your father's brother. And number two, it's not even your mother's paternal brother, it's your mother's maternal brother's wife. So that is notably absent from the Braisa. Keep that in your head. Put it on the back burner. We're going to come back to that later on. Kalas beno, your son's daughter-in-law. Okay, now, it's hard to imagine. In other words, in today's day and age, and for that matter, going back many years, hard to imagine that someone's going to have that kind of relationship with someone who is already two generations removed. Okay, back then, people married younger. The difference in generations was much smaller. Okay, so Kalas Beno, this is now your son's daughter-in-law. Okay, your daughter-in-law is an Issur Min HaTorah. Good. Your son's daughter-in-law is not an Issur Min HaTorah, it's a Shnia. It's a secondary. Kalas Bito, your daughter's son-in-law. Okay. Umutar Adam Be'eshes Chamav Uve'eshes Chorgo. A person is allowed to marry your father-in-law's wife, obviously not describing your wife's mother. Your wife's mother is an Issur Min HaTorah. Father-in-law remarried. So your father, in the event that either death or divorce, and she becomes available, so she will be mutter. Uve Eshes Chorgo, and the wife of your stepson. Wife of your stepson is permitted, right? Meaning your wife's son's wife. If you're following, so that is permitted. But oddly enough, Bas Chorgo, your stepson's daughter, that's going to be prohibited. Now, the Gemara is about to point out in just a moment, she's not just prohibited, she's prohibited. Meaning, that's an Issa Daraisa. So, and the Gemara later on, in a moment, is going to point out, after we finish this Braisa, why was that added to this list? This list is a list of Shneos, of secondary, of rabbinics. So why she added? So stay tuned. The Gemara later on is going to ask that question. V'chargo muta b'ishto u'bas ishto. And your stepson is permitted to marry your wife and the daughter of your wife. Chargo omeris lo. And then the Bryce ends off with the following. Here is what your stepson's wife can say to you the following: Ani mutar slach, I'm permitted to you. Ubiti asur lach, and my daughter's prohibited to you. Okay, basically what now. All the Bryce wants to do right now, I know there's a funny sentence, and I can't imagine how that sentence would go over at the family get together, but basically what the Gemara is just illustrating over here is that sometimes on a couple of occasions, the Bryce here speaks about one, we're going to speak later on about another, the contrast between the line between Isser and Heter can sometimes be a little bit strange, where this is now your stepson's wife, where she can look at you and say, obviously when I'm available, meaning death or divorce, I am totally permitted to you, but meanwhile, my daughter is prohibited to you. And think about the contrast, meaning she's permitted to you 100%, meaning not even as the Rabbanan. Her daughter is prohibited to you on a Torah, even though she's further removed, on a Torah level. Why should that be? Well, think about it. It makes perfect sense. Because what is her daughter? Her daughter is your wife's granddaughter. Your wife's daughter and granddaughter are one of the arais, are two of the arais in the Torah. So your stepson's wife is mutter to you, but her daughter is aser min haTorah to you. And it's just simply a way of illustrating that not every time that there's a connection between one woman and another, does that mean that the Chachamim were going to insert that as a Shniyah? For reasons which later on the Gemara is going to explain why not.
There's a blood relationship to the...
Correct. In other words, good, you see it. But the Bryce just wanted to illustrate that sometimes that'll happen. Okay. And the Gemara, we start off with the first question, the Gemara Baschar Gor D'Araisahi. The Gemara's first question is, I don't understand, the stepdaughter is an Isser D'Araisa. To which the Gemara says, of course you're right. Your stepson's daughter is an Isser D'Araisa. Again, it's your wife's granddaughter, which the Torah prohibits. D'Achsiv, and the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, and Achrei Mos, as Bas Benav, as Bas Bita. Okay, in other words, that's an error from the Torah. So what is she doing in that list? So the Gemara says, "Because Mishum the Kabbalah missed the Sefer, Yishas Chargo Omeres Lo Ani Mutarzach Biti Asurolach VaAfagav the Biti Asurolach Medaraisa." The Gemara is just simply illustrating exactly the point that we made. Even though my daughter is also to you Menat Torah, Bididi Lo Gazer Bei Rabbanan, but the Chachamim didn't make a Gzera by me, for reasons which we're going to point out later on why. Sanereisha Nami Bas Chargo. So that's why in the Braisa, the Braisa added the Bas Chargo, just simply to illustrate exactly this point. Meaning the Braisa was setting us up for that punchline. So So the Gemara says, okay, but what about your father-in-law's wife? Your father-in-law's wife is somebody who is permitted to you. And meanwhile, she can make, your father-in-law's wife could say to you, and again, right, they probably won't go over to get well at the next family get-together, but your father-in-law's wife could say to you, and now mind you, obviously, it's not your mother's, it's not your wife's mother, because then that's an issue in the Torah. But your father-in-law's wife can say to you, "Ani mutaras lach," meaning there's no arise prohibition between me and you, not on a Torah level, not on a Derabana level. And meanwhile, my daughter, who's even further removed than me, she's usher to you min haTorah. Why? What's her daughter? Her daughter is your wife's sister. Again, if you're good at family relationships, you can get to see this clearly. I'm not saying I'm good. I've just been doing this enough times where, you know, I'm pretty much trained what to say. Like, I get it. Like, I'm starting to get it. But it took me a while. So, ubiti asur lach da'avi achos ishto. And the Gemara spells it out. It's because it's your sister. It's your wife's sister. So, ha psikale halo psikale. So the Gemara says, the reason why the Braisa didn't give that illustration, even though that's another perfectly good example where one woman is mutter to you, and meanwhile, a relative of hers is also to you in a Torah, and that is another wonderful example, but the reason why the Braisa didn't illustrate that is because in the case of your wife's sister is not always going to be prohibited to you. Upon the death of your wife, her sister becomes mutter to you. Masha Enkin, in the case of your stepson's wife, and your stepson's wife's daughter, there, psikale. That's an objective iser, which will always be there. Her daughter will always be prohibited to you, where she's going to be mutter to you. Okay. Amar Rav. Here we go. A statement made by Rav. Okay, so far what do we have? We had a Braisa. The Braisa has taught us now that the rabbis added on, and I know we didn't count it, but 8 shneos. 8 different women who are prohibited. Going up from him, from his side, his father's, basically his uncle's wives. We almost covered all the uncle's wives. And his mother's mother, his father's mother, his grandfather's wife, going down, his son-in-law's, I'm sorry, his son's daughter-in-law, his daughter's daughter-in-law, and, okay, that's, those are the ones that were added in this Braisa. Okay, that was 8 in total. Okay, now the Gemara moves on. And this is now we get to the point of the Gemara where I mentioned earlier in the beginning of this discussion of Shios that in certain circumstances it goes infinitum. And it's based on the following Gemara. Amar Rav, Arba Nashim Yesh Lahem Hafsek. So 4 women have a stopping point. Meaning that the Chachamim were only goes there the Shnios, but not any generations above, not any generations below. Statement made by Rav. And meaning that all other arayos continue ad infinitum. So, just as a simple example, one of the shneos was a grandmother, right? Amy Mo. So, that shnea continues infinitum, meaning her mother also is a shnea. Her mother also is a shnea. Now, I know eventually we're going to get to the point where it becomes an impossibility, but just in theory, those are shneos that just continue, right? That's just as a simple example. So now the Gemara is going to point out that certain number of the shneos do not continue. And they are, now Rav says there are 4. 4 of the 8 that we just described. So they are, Arban Asher Mishlam Hafsek, Nikid Rabbi Adet Tlas. Now Rav knew 3 of the 4. Meaning he had a tradition of 4, but he only was confident about 3 of them. Eishes Achia Eimanav, your mother's brother, meaning like we described earlier, your uncle's wife. Eishes Achia Av Menaim, your father's brother's wife, but your father's maternal brother's wife, Vikalaso, and your daughter-in-law. Okay, so those stop. Those don't continue. And if you think about it, in other words, if those are not like the grandmother, well, that's like a straight line going up. But rather, that's going across to brother. So that's it. Okay. Uziri Mosif Aveshus Aviemo. Now, Uziri would like to include to the list as well your grandfather's wife, but not just your grandfather's wife, your mother's father's wife. So Uziri says that also stops. Now, how are you going to remember this? Meaning, how are you going to remember where Ziri deviates from Rav? Rav only spoke about a generation above you. Ziri was talking about 2 generations above, and Ila'a de Rav. He was above Rav, so to say. Okay. The Rav, my time aloha shavlai, mechufalai beishas avi aviv. So Rav says, no, I'm not going to add that one, because think about it, what are we describing? We're describing basically your grandfather's wife, or if I can make this sound a little bit stranger, your Zadie's wife. So, and now Rav says, people are expected to understand the nuanced difference between your father's father's wife versus your mother's father's wife. That's very nuanced. That's way too subtle. So Rav was of the opinion that just like on the father's side, it continues up ad infinitum. So too on the mother's side, it also continues up ad infinitum. So, my time lochashele mechlofei beishes avi aviv is eerily lahasam shchech v'azal lahachalo shchech v'azal. And as far as Ziri is concerned, he feels that the two can be separated, and he gives really a social explanation in terms of why. He says the reason why is because typically what people do is they visit their father's family very often. They do not visit their mother's family very often, right? Just going back to Chumash, we can count so many times where Rivka or Rachel and Leah, upon marriage, they leave their father's household to go to their to the man's side of the family. So not often is the time that you visit your mother's family. More often is the time you visit your father's family. So Ziri felt that you're going to become more comfortable, so to say, with your father's family, and that's why the shneos is more numerous on the father's side than on the mother's side. Okay. One of the things that was mentioned was kalasa, your daughter-in-law, meaning those were of Rav's list, short list of three of the Shneos, which continue ad infinitum. So one of them that he listed was your daughter-in-law. But that's not a Shneo. That's an Isser Min HaTorah. That's an Erevah. So Dechsiv, Erevah, Skalas, Cholosik, Allah. Come on, what's the Pasuk? Pasuk says you're not allowed to have relations with your daughter-in-law. Ema kalas beno vekalas beno. I'm sorry. Ema kalas beno. So the Gemara says, fine. You're right. We're not talking about your daughter-in-law. We're talking about your son's daughter-in-law. So the Gemara says, vekalas beno yesh lahefzig. The Gemara says, is that true that your son's daughter-in-law stops, meaning the iser doesn't extend beyond that point in time? Vatani kalas oervas kalas beno shnei vechina tamar bibno uben beno atzav koladaros. So the Gemara says, but it's just not true. We have a brisa that says that this prohibition of daughter-in-law extends not only your daughter-in-law, which is an erva, not only your son's daughter-in-law, which is a shnia, but your grandson's daughter-in-law. Now, again, I know we get to the point now where it is nearly impractical, but just conceptually, the brisa says it goes on. That's a shnia that perpetuates. So the Gemara says, point taken. Adsof Koladoros. Ella Ema Kalas Bito. So the Gemara says, what Rav was describing as something which has a termination point is going to be your daughter's son-in-law. That's a Shnia, but it doesn't go beyond that generation. The Amar Rav Chista HaMilsa Migavar Rabba Shmeli Aman Rebbe Ami. I heard this from Rebbe Ami. I heard the following line. Meaning, you're right, it happens. Remember younger, it happened to me all the time. I'm singing in Shir, the Rebbe said something, and I have no idea what he's saying. Like, I'm just, you know, I'm there and I'm listening and I kind of get it, but I don't really get it. So he says, well, asu kala ala mimne kala. Imagine hearing this line in Shir. You know, the daughter-in-law was only prohibited because of the daughter-in-law. Oh, okay. You go home that night, you think about it. Can you imagine what we just heard in Shir today? The daughter-in-law is prohibited because of the daughter-in-law. Well, what is he saying? So what does that mean? V'amru li kaldai mafanaveth. Now, this Gemara is amazing. Now, I went to the astrologer, and the astrologer told me that I'm going to be a Rebbe later in life. Okay, good. That's what. No, you're not supposed to do that. And I know, and he did it. And that makes it strange. Okay, but I understand. I should have a good explanation. I don't. Okay. The Amina igavara b'havinazbar amidati. So here now, based on the following forecast, right? So I went to the Chaldai. He told me I'm going to become a Rebbe. And I heard this cryptic line in Shir. And I said, look, there are different types of Rebbeim in life. Some Rebbeim end up becoming Talmidei Chachamim, big Talmidei Chachamim, and others become, you know, Malami Tinokas. They're school children. So he says, look, I love this personality. It's like, and I so relate to it. He says, look, if I end up becoming a Rebbe for school children, so great. So probably means I don't have such a great cop. It means that I'm never really going to understand this line, but no problem. I'll ask somebody to explain it to me. Okay, great. And so I'll go to Shul and I'll find a big Talmid Chacham and he'll explain it to me. And hashda sver to midati. It happens to be that I turned into somewhat of a Talmid Chacham. So I understand the line by myself. I don't need someone to explain it to me. But back when the Chaldean told me that I was going to become a Rebbe, so basically I'll roll with the punches. If I'm a Rebbe for school children, I'll get someone to explain it to me. If I become a Talmid Chacham, I'll understand it myself. Just, you know, just somebody who, whatever life put him, he's like, okay, I'll just deal. Lo aster kalas bito ela mishum kalas beno. Oh, that's what he meant. Meaning that the Isser in the Torah is kala, right? One's daughter-in-law is aster to him in the Torah. And now there is a shnia, and the shnia affects both his son's daughter-in-law and his daughter's daughter-in-law. But the daughter's daughter-in-law was only there implemented as a shnia only because of the son's daughter-in-law. But really, the shnia was not originally instituted for your daughter's daughter-in-law. And as a result of that, it only affects your daughter-in-law, but it doesn't extend anywhere beyond that point in time. Meaning that's a termination point, as opposed to your son's daughter-in-law, where there is no termination point. Meaning your son's daughter-in-law is a shnia, your grandson's daughter-in-law is a shnia. If you can imagine, your great-grandson's daughter-in-law also is going to be a shnia. Amalei Abayla Rav Azbara Chigon Kalasa Debe Rav Tisai, Rav Papa Mar Chigon Kalasa Debe Rav Papa, and Bar Abba Rav Ashi Mar Chigon Kalasa Debe Mari Bar Isak. And then the Gemara just gives a lot of anecdotal evidence where we see this, where the son's daughter-in-law, the grandson's daughter-in-law, the great-grandson's daughter-in-law are prominent amongst the family. Okay. Everyone got all that? We're good? You understand? Okay. Right. We'll pause over here. Tomorrow, Ibayilahu. We'll finish tomorrow. God willing, we'll finish the Shneos. I understand it's a more difficult part of this discussion. Okay. I know, speaking about termination point. Well, tomorrow we get to a termination point.